Welcome all to the first, but not really first, but kind of first episode of On the Rocks. I'm Paul Danino Braun.
And I'm Dave.
Id Strano.
No.
I thought we decided on full names.
We didn't say anything about it.
I had like eight fucking syllables I had to drop.
Well, that was your choice.
Oh, God. All right. So, to get everyone up to speed as to why this is kind of the first episode, but not really the first episode, once upon a time, we did a show called On the Rocks. It had a whole 1.5 episodes. No one ever got to see the second episode.
Oh, it never came out?
No, I mean, I still have it. I still could release it, but...
No, I don't think you should.
Okay.
I don't remember that one being as good as our first run.
Yeah, it's because we did The Shriven, which was a piece of shit movie that was basically an excuse to get titties on screen. It was weird.
I would love to see it again, not for that last reason that you said, though.
Yeah, I very much regret working on that movie. The fact that I had to buy my own copy. Kind of bullshit.
You bought your own copy.
I had to buy a copy of a movie that I'm in. That's just fucked up.
Well, we gotta watch a movie that we're both kind of associated with. Apex Rising, you remember that? With that guy that I told... That I didn't hook you up with him. That sounds sexy.
Oh my God, Apex Rising. That was the zombie movie with the... Oh, Christ, yeah. On ice skates.
I saw that.
That came out?
In theaters.
You're right. He actually made that.
It's on Amazon.
Oh, God.
We can rent it for like $4.
All right, so quick backstory for everyone listening. Dave, years and years ago...
We were in college at the time.
And yeah. He hooked me up with this guy who wanted to do a zombie movie and wanted to have me do special effects. So I go to this guy's house for this meeting, and it is just a clusterfuck. Like, I can tell immediately, like, this is going to be a shit show. And I was like, you know, no, I'm going to just sidestep this whole thing. I'm not going to pour my time and resources into a project that is basically going to be like a dumpster fire.
And you met him. I didn't meet him. I only talked to him on the phone. It was funny. After you met with him, the next day he called me. He's like, he's so unprofessional, blah, 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 blah. I don't know how you guys could do this. So I was like, listen, you're the one telling me that's like, no, you can write the script the day of
yes,
shooting.
Yes, that was the breaking point. I asked to see a script and he said, I don't have one. And I said, what do you mean? You have dates picked out to shoot. How do you not even do you even have a treatment? He was like, nope. I think he had a series of bullet points in his head and was just gonna fucking wing it.
Oh, which... you should see the movie. Talking about just it's everything. It's everything. It's everything the movie. Because it's 2.5 hours long.
Oh my God.
I'm not joking.
It's his magnum opus.
Yes, it's huge. And it's funny because he talked to me about the same thing. He was like, oh, yeah, I want you to write for me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, give me like 2 weeks. I'll do like a little first draft or whatever. I was like, no, come on set. It's like, oh, you already have something. It's like, no, I didn't write anything yet.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, that's... He's Terrence Malick-ing it.
Oh, actually amazing. Okay.
So back on track.
Yes.
Yes.
On this day... First, you want to get into some news? You want to just talk about some of the movie stuff happening?
What's going on in the news? Well, there's... What? The Avengers movie was pushed up?
Yeah, and a pretty awesome, like... I don't want to say unprecedented, but you just don't see this happening too often. Robert Downey Jr. tweeted at the Marvel account or the Avengers account. I don't know, but he was like, hey, I want to see this movie. And they were like, okay. He's like, can I bring my friends? And they said, these people? He's like, everyone. And they said, cool. And they pushed the movie up, what, an entire week? It was originally the first week of May, and now it's like, what, April 24th?
It's the 27th.
27th. Oh, I'm...
But they... Yeah. It's rumored that the Fantastic Four are mentioned in the movie.
You know?
Because...
That'd be cool.
Because I think on, like, when they had the poster, it's like, now it's April 27th. It says in like big in like caps, it says, this is a fantastic idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, remember Fant Four Stick?
But you know what? It's not them. It's not that.
It would be a little bit confusing considering we have the Human Torch and the Human Torch.
Yeah, but and one. Then, yeah, but would, both Human Torches. Well, one Human Torch. Well,
for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan both played the Human Torch,
but they might not share screen time with each other. Is what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure. What is it that the same matter can't occupy the same space? That's, time cop rules.
That's time cop rules.
Will the MCU just collapse into itself like a dwarf star?
Maybe. I don't know. I hope not.
So yeah, we have that news. We also have, what was it, like fucking 47 covers?
Oh yeah,
of all the different heroes, all the
things. Well, you got to tell them first. You got to tell them your theory, and then you lead up to.
All right, so I had
to do this fucking right. First.
I had a hot little theory that I floated towards Dave.
I need some chips.
I'm sure I'm not the only person to be theorizing or suspecting this, but it's okay. You can chew. You can chew. ASMR is really big right now. I'm pretty sure that someone's going to get off. You know what? I'm going to get right up in the mic. Oh, fuck yeah.
You gotta be
like
quiet.
Oh, God, Greedo.
No, no one's getting turned on by that.
Oh, God, we lost our only viewer. Not you, Hank!
It's gotta be soft-spoken.
Oh.
So here's my theory as to what's going on in the Avengers.
So with the release of the first trailer, there's a sequence that looks like it takes place on Titan, and we have the Iron Spider, and we have Tony Stark's Iron Man there. Now, you can see Spider-Man getting fucking, like, chokeslammed down and Iron Man taking a brutal hit. But there's also, if you look in the trailer, a couple shots of Tony with no armor on and he looks all forlorn and sad. So what I was theorizing happens is something very similar to a sequence in Iron Man 3. Remember when his house blows up and he, like, points at Pepper and his armor encapsulates her and fucking flies her to safety? I have a theory that Spider-Man gets knocked the fuck out. Unconscious. They took a portal to get to Titan or whatever. And because Iron Man has become somewhat of a surrogate father figure to Peter, he does the whole schwick, you know, points armor, scoops up Spider-Man, flies him out of there, leaving Tony Stark completely defenseless. And I'm going to call it, I think Tony Stark dies in that scene. I think that he, completing his arc of, you know, the journey from a self-centered, spoiled asshole to a selfless hero, I think he sacrifices himself to save Peter Parker.
It was basically like his son.
Yeah.
Like, he not his actual.
It's also, he's responsible. He's the one who roped him into this. He's the one who in Civil War is like, come on, you're going to be
fight
one of
on
us.
My side, yeah.
So, something that might lead a level of credence to this is with the release of these new photos, Dave texted me out of the blue and was like, I think you're right. And why is it that?
Because on the covers, it's the Entertainment Weekly where it's like all the characters. It's Tony Stark and he's got this suit on and I couldn't really see it that much, but he's got like four, like it's like legs. Yeah. These legs coming out of the back of his suit.
So very reminiscent of the Iron Spider.
Yeah, and so it's like, it's pretty close. Like, I feel like it's gotta be. Like, yeah, he has it on, he's gonna fight with it or whatever, and then he's gonna transfer it over or something like that. Something.
Yeah.
Because something, I don't know, it's like, it's close, I think it's gonna be close to what you said.
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly what it is.
But yeah, it's something along those lines. I think there's an, listen, he might not die, but there's definitely got to be some kind of, I would say, element of sacrifice. Because there needs to be stakes in this movie. Like, we've been building towards the war.
I think it's, yeah, at this point, if nobody dies and nothing, like, extraordinary happens, then it's kind of like, well, you lost me at this point. Like, if... And I don't think that's what's going to happen. Like, I think in, like, Civil War, I think Rhodey was supposed to die, but they gave it away in the trailers, and it's like, no, no, it's okay, mm-hmm. It's all right.
I'm also sure that somebody popped up and was like, hey, maybe we shouldn't kill, like, one of the only two black characters in this entire thing, because then it just leaves a bunch of white people and one purple person.
Isn't this three?
Who's the third?
Black Panther. And Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, what the fuck, racist?
Black Panther's lives matter. Well, clearly, look how much fucking money they made.
No, yeah, that's a lot of money. I think we should cut this part out.
I'm sorry, I forgot that Falcon and Black Panther were also in there.
Yeah.
Happy polyages, everyone.
And you should see Black Panther. It's pretty good.
I was supposed to. There was an accident and a mix-up at Alamo. I love you, Alamo. Thank you for making it right and fixing things for me. Classy moves, classy moves.
We still didn't go. I still didn't receive my gift card. What the fuck?
Now
we're gonna get all our issues out right here.
Dave is just
on the air,
blasting me on the air in front of everyone. Now
I'm calling out Paul right now.
Son of a B.
He didn't hug me that one time, and I don't like it.
All right, someone's not getting a sloppy beach at the end of this.
Damn it!
So that's what we think about Avengers: Infinity War. I'm excited.
I can't.
Am excited. Think it's gonna be great. You know, very cool.
Very cool. And we can't steal.
I'm not going to steal
we
that.
We can't steal
I that. Love you, Red Letter Media.
They'll never know.
Probably not, but, you know, whatever. Rich Evans is my spirit animal.
Rich Evans is sexy. He's a sexy motherfucker. Anyway, what are we watching, Paul?
Well, tonight we're doing a good old-fashioned 1-2 special. I'm showing Dave a little something, and he's showing me. It's a little bit of you show me yours, I'll show me mine kind of thing.
But not in a platonic way.
No, it's a much more aggressive, borderline lacking consent kind of way. Hashtag me too. So I am going to be showing David on this fine day the extended cut of the original Highlander.
And I do have to say, I have seen this before, but I've completely forgotten about it, except for like one or two things.
What? Please tell me, what are the two things that you remember?
The jump cut from it's what's his name's point of view? Chris Lambert. No, the smash cut, I should say. The Chris Lambert to Sean Connery in full, like, puffy red garb going, like, my name is Ramirez in the most, in his Scottish accent. And another one is when, I think it's when Chris Lambert and what's his name, Clancy Brown are fighting and they're going upstairs. And the set is wobbling back and forth. Like, that's the only thing I remember about
now,
it.
Now, you have forgotten, really, what I would argue is the most important part of the scene where we are introduced to Sean Connery's character. It's not only that he is a somewhat elderly Scottish man in a puffy red outfit saying that his name is Ramirez, a traditionally Hispanic name. He also exclaims that he is Egyptian.
Oh.
Which further just confuses the fuck out of everyone. It is a delightful hodgepodge of borderline insensitive, but kind of fascinating just stuff. Like, I see where they were going with that commentary, but we'll wait to discuss that after we watch it. So, Highlander, it's goofy. There can be only one. Also, Queen did the soundtrack.
Which is pretty awesome.
Fucking phenomenal. And it might be one of the gayest things I've ever seen. It's very homoerotic. Not quite as homoerotic as like Rocky IV, but it's definitely up there.
No, you mean Rocky III.
No, I mean Rocky IV.
No, but like Rocky III has the scene where him and Apollo are running through the water.
Jumping. Oh, they show that in a flashback in Rocky IV.
Oh, well, it's originally in Rocky III. Let's get this fucking right. We're now professionals.
That's fair.
All right.
That's fair.
And I'm showing Paul Rage of Honor, which recently I've stumbled upon. I was begging one of my friends to get it for me for my birthday. And it's incredible. It's a forgotten 80s action gem that has an actual ninja in it.
Like a person who is a practitioner of ninjutsu?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And he's very Japanese, almost to the point of like, oh, wow. I get it.
I'm confused. Well, are you saying the actor is very Japanese?
He's very Japanese, but he's giving it his all. Like, he's like, there's something lost in translation, and he can only probably say, like, you know, not that many, like, English words.
Oh, so he's kind of like, so the actor who played...
So think Arnold, but he never had a desire to go further with his
interesting. So English. I was gonna draw a comparison to the actor who played the bad guy.
But he's an actual good actor.
No, the bad guy from the Road Warrior. What was his name again? Lord Humongous?
Him?
So fun fact, that actor didn't speak English and had no fucking idea what he was saying. He literally just learned the lines phonically and
phonetically.
Phonetically?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Fuck you.
I'm hooked on phonetics. You know what I meant. Yeah, so he just learned he literally just parroted the lines without any context and had no goddamn clue what he was saying.
It's amazing.
Which, if I was that director, oh boy, would I have him say some horrible things without his knowledge.
He probably did. I think he probably did.
You did, George Miller, you fuck. Guy you happy feet making
I was just about
babe in the fucking city piece of human garbage.
How do you go from that to that?
You know, in many ways, Happy Feet and Mad Max are the same film. They both deal with themes of anti-religion and gasoline and penguins.
Penguins? No.
And assless chaps.
Oh my god. In Happy Feet?
Yes.
In a children's movie?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And on that horrifying revelation,
I don't want to see this anymore.
We back out and strap in and get ready for the glory that is Highlander
and Rage of Honor.
Wish us luck, please.
Because you were born different, men will fear you, try to drive you away.
I am Connor McCloud. I am immortal.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe.
You will always be weaker.
We are back. We're so back. We just finished watching. Sorry, 1 second. There we go.
All right. Bring it a little close.
All right, so we are back. We just finished watching Highlander. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to the second movie in this episode. We're going to save that for episode 2.
That could be episode 1, technically.
You know,
this is a trial. You're listening to a trial period.
Can we just, please, Dave?
I'm just really tired right now.
I get it. Look at me, I'm employed. Life is hard.
It's McLeod.
It's pronounced McLeod.
That's total bullshit. Anyway, we're back.
We're back. We just finished Highlander. Dave, second viewing, what are your thoughts on the original Highlander, spawning several sequels, TV series, and a canceled video game?
Was there a remake? You said original.
I meant like, you know, because there were several sequels, there was also a TV series of the same name.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right, there was a TV series. But, I like this movie,
but
there's a big but. I don't like this movie based just because of the lead. Christopher Lambert is awful. He's really bad. And he reminds me of Tommy Wiseau, Like, a lot. Like, if James Franco was just to direct The Disaster Artist, they could have easily casted Christopher Lambert.
Yes. I will say yes.
He puts in no effort. He puts in a lot of effort.
He just doesn't do a good job.
He's just so bad.
Okay, so he makes some very specific choices.
Yes.
Regarding the accent that I think a better actor could have pulled off.
Yeah, in theory.
I appreciate the effort, and I'm more willing to forgive somebody who puts in effort and fails than someone who doesn't try.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with his performance is he's very restrained, and he's not having a lot of fun with it, say for a few very, very short scenes. So it comes off like he doesn't give a fuck.
No, yeah, he doesn't.
Comes off like he doesn't give a fuck.
It looks like he was just thrust into it. Was this like, I think this might have been his first role or whatever?
God, there's just been so many. Raiden? Highlander?
No, but Mortal Kombat came out after.
Yes, way after this.
Yeah, so shut the fuck up. Why are you making fun of me?
I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of how limited his acting career is.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad. He was in Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
How do you even remember him in that?
I remember a lot of things. That, unfortunately, is one of them. But
that movie was awesome. Shut the fuck up.
It was all right.
Right hand of God.
Just cuts to him in a tree branch. Anyway, he's Heimdall now. As Idris Elba.
I know.
Alright, so anyway, back to fucking Highlander. Yeah, no, I think... Okay, so I think the only bad part about the movie is him. He's just so... not into it. Like, he's just so out of place. Like, out of everyone there, even Clancy Brown and Sean Connery, like, they totally don't belong in the movie, but their charisma and their acting ability, like, it fits. They all fit well, even though they shouldn't, they fit in. And he is, I can't put it into words how bad he is.
Yeah, like, it really makes me appreciate Sean Connery, an elderly Scottish man, is tasked with playing a character named Ramirez, who is Egyptian, but maintains a Scottish accent, fights with a samurai sword, and has to wear just the most ostentatious getup I've ever seen. And he fucking nailed it. He is charismatic. He's having fun. He's stoic when he needs to be. Mm. Like, he's got probably the hardest job of anyone.
Yeah,
and
really.
And he nails it.
Yeah, he's got to sell that shit. And he does.
But I would argue that the scenes with him and McCloud are easily the best scenes of the movie.
Yes. But, again... Christopher Lambert brings it down. Like, okay, it's up high. You got them together and they're doing their training montages. And everything looks awesome. And he's very charismatic and he's giving it his all, Sean Connery. And Christopher Lambert, he's just out there trying to do something. God only knows what. Like, he's trying to be like that action hero. You know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, kind of like cool. But it just never comes off, especially at the very end that we both noticed that it was supposed to be that laugh out loud moment. And it just fell flat. And both of us looked at each other like, yeah, no, no, you didn't earn that.
What took you?
Yeah. What took you so long? Like, no. No, you don't get to say that because
you don't get one-liners.
Yeah, because you're the most unlikable protagonist in this awesome movie that has a great villain.
Oh God, he's, and it's funny because he changes.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the elements that I like about the movies. The characters, they actually play with the fact that they're immortal, and over time, their personalities, their dialects, like that shit's gonna change. He starts off as a very stoic, brooding villain, and at the end, he's just like a punk rocker. He's just having fucking fun. He gets fucked.
He gets crazy at the end. Like he devolves into nuts. Like that's, yes, that's what becomes of him, and it's, that's amazing. Yeah.
And this movie puts an insane amount of, like, effort and detail into the smallest things.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, like, his helmet, the Kurgan's helmet in the beginning, at the end, is his is a tattoo on the side of his head, and, a strand of hair is, like, the mane that was on the helmet. Or just, like, just those little touches. It's, like, the fact that they shot all this shit on location.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of those scenes, like, if you told me, oh, this is a screen grab from Braveheart, probably would have believed it.
All the camera setups, the fight sequences, not the
choreography is lacking.
Yes, the choreography kind of is like, yeah, but
the way they actually shot them
and having them actually do it.
Yeah, they give the action room to breathe. They hold on it. They don't cut every time an impact happens. Yeah. Like better fighters really could have sold those scenes.
Yeah. Keeping the same movements and stuff like that. Yeah, that would have been amazing. Like even at the end, where it's just a big wide shot, and it's their silhouette, and it's the windows behind them, and it's like a purple blue. It's like it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's just that I don't give a fuck about our lead character, and that's the main problem. All these great details, all this amazing effort. That one tracking shot that we both noticed, where it's like, this is Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah, when he's walking out of the hotel and he threatens the
clerk.
The George Michael's knockoff clerk.
Yeah. Don't you talk to me. It's like, it's fantastic. And the way that they edit it together, where it's not linear. You get the backstory in like in details. But like, it's done in a way where it's not too cheap or too like forced or anything like that. Everything just feels right about it.
And I also I feel like the thing that helps the non-linearity of the plot work is the fact that there is those flashbacks aren't just randomly dropped in. There is a correlation between the modern day and the past day. They're drip feeding us the appropriate information when we need to know it, and also, not all the time, but a decent amount of time for the flashbacks, they will do like a cool transition into it, usually trying to make it almost look like it's part of the same shot in a way. That doesn't always work. Shattering glass transition was
That was just terrible. That was out of nowhere. But the one transition that did work for me, I think I explained it to you, was when Christopher Lambert's looking at it like his fish tank. And the camera's moving up and it goes towards the top, and then it just easily transitions into back in Scotland with him and Sean Connery, and it comes out of the water on the lake. It's like, that's really nice. Like, again, effort.
Yeah.
We're trying to make a really good movie. We just can't because, again, our lead actor. Yes.
So, in the realm of questionable decisions, the ever-present Queen soundtrack, I gotta be honest,
you don't like it.
No, I love it.
Okay.
But it is distracting as fuck sometimes. The times it's distracting, actually, ironically enough, the times it's the most distracting is when the music is supposed to be diegetic.
Yeah, when it's like the bar scene.
Yeah, so and quick definition.
Yeah.
Diegetic versus non-diegetic would be the difference of if a character is listening to a song in the movie, like it is coming out of a radio that the character is holding, that would be diegetic. It exists inside the world. Versus when we, the audience, just hears a song, but very clearly it's not playing. So when it's just playing over the soundtrack, that's fine. That works. It's like you said, when he's in the bar, it's like, really? It's like 8 o'clock at night. Who's playing this random-ass Queen song?
There's nobody in there.
Yeah.
It's just the bartender and those two. It's whatever her name is. And Christopher Lambert.
That doesn't help that Freddie Mercury's voice is incredibly distinctive, too. And boy, like the Marine. Yeah, this Marine is driving around with an Uzi blasting Queen.
Hey, he really likes Queen. And then, and David Bowie, probably.
He seemed like he was under some...
Yeah, he definitely...
Under some...
Which, that came out of nowhere.
Pressure.
Like, that came out of nowhere, too. Like, we're just introduced to this random guy who has, like, Uzis and, you know, AKs and stuff like that. And he just happens to find the... What's his face?
Listen, the only thing that stops a Kurgan with a sword is a good guy with a gun.
That's not true.
Oh. Oh, did you hear that, audience? It's not fucking true.
Because it's fiction.
That also.
But, like, I can't stress it enough, the two things. That all the filmmakers put in so much, like, I can't, there's no other word than effort. Like, they just put it all in. It's like, we're going to make this really great because we don't have our main lead to back everything up. We have great shots. We have awesome action set pieces. The end is really cool. It's a stunt spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, and I like that they don't, they actually utilize the fact that they're immortal in interesting ways. Like, they're fighting in waist-deep water that's electrified, and sparks and electrical bends and shit are coming off the fucking swords.
Yeah.
And they're fine. Well, like, that's cool.
While Brenda's, like
shitting on the ledge because she'll die.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, that's pretty neat. And, like, the same thing when Sean Connery is, like, fuck you, you don't know what you're doing, you're an idiot, and he tips him over the boat, and he's just finding out now, and he's like, I can't fucking die, I can't drown, and he's just walking through the coral reef just slashing at the seaweed.
He never needs to learn how to swim.
Like, that's awesome. Like, that's really neat. Like, getting stabbed or whatever. It's all these little details, all this.
Yeah,
all the
it's
other
like the
stuff.
Accent thing. Like, a better actor could have pulled it off, but I think that's, like, a cool idea. Then the flashbacks, he has the Scottish accent, and in the present-day stuff, he has this weird amalgamation of several different accents that make it impossible to pinpoint where he's from. That's, like, a cool idea.
But
he,
like,
doesn't pull it off well.
But, like, Sean Connery doesn't do... Well, Sean Connery can't really... That's it for him.
Listen, he had enough going on.
Yeah, he had enough on his plate to deal with.
You know,
but then you could say the same thing about Clancy Brown's character, who is pretty much the same.
Yeah, but the difference between those two characters is, like, Sean Connery had enough things to joke. We only saw him in one time period.
Okay.
And when you think about it, he was in Scotland. We don't know how long he's been there. He adopted the Scottish accent. So that makes some semblance of sense.
Okay.
Also, like, his garb is very specifically one ethnic background. His name is one ethnic background. Yet he says he's Egyptian. So he's, while he's not using just his voice to carry that over, like, who he is as a character kind of encapsulates all that. Whereas, like, when you get McLeod in modern day New York, he just is dressed like a normal person. Like, you lose a lot of that cultural stuff. Like, we know he's from Scotland, now he's living in New York, but, I mean, people just dress normal now. Like, there's not a way to easily distinguish, oh, he's wearing a kilt, because he would look ridiculous in the 80s with a kilt.
And you Clancy Brown doesn't care.
Yeah, Clancy Brown doesn't give a fuck. He's just like, whatever, leather punk rock shit, I don't give a fuck.
He's like doing his own thing, And probably the other thing that I don't like is just, like, the weird, like, opening. Like, we're just thrust into everything. Like, literally, we're just being kicked into this fight. Like, this very weird setup fight. Like, all of a sudden, he's just walking in a garage, and then it's like, this guy just turns the corner really sharply. He's like, McLeod! Not you! That's what he says! Yeah. Is not you.
No, a cold opening can work.
But they didn't establish the rules, everything. Like,
listen, they don't have to necessarily establish the rules before the opening fight, because they do a decent job, I think, conveying, like, what do we learn? We learn that it seems as though a decapitation is necessary to kill these guys. We see them fighting with swords very specifically. We see two very different, very old styles of sword, and we also see that when one of them dies, some kind of energy comes out of them, and it's like a whole big to-do.
Did any of them get cut?
I believe so.
I don't remember.
I don't know. But
cut to the footage where they're getting cut up. Because if they do, then yeah. But like, see, my problem is with that, it's like, you're kind of, I'm in like this whole thing where it's like, okay, what's going on? I'm just being thrown into this world. I'm not paying attention to those small details until that second go around.
That's true.
You know
what
I mean?
I'm very far removed from my first viewing, so.
So it's like, I need to know what the fuck, who these people are, what they're doing, what's being accomplished here.
Mm.
Because it's like, afterwards, okay, it's a cool concept. Like I was saying before, it's like, this guy, he's older gentleman fighting Christopher Lambert, who looks pretty young. You know, probably just like
30s.
Say, yeah. So it's like, okay, they can be anybody. These Highlanders or, you know, whatever. These immortals or whatever. It's like they could be anybody. And
I'm sorry, he's called Frankenstein's monster, not Frankenstein. We're gonna call them Highlanders. Fucking deal with it.
And that's something else. It's like they don't really establish who they, like, what they, I don't need an explanation. It's like they came from this place, or this is how they started, or
they came from the planet Zeist.
Well, yeah, we find that out in the great sequel. But no, I mean, like, the rules of, like, how their, I guess their powers work, or
yeah,
really, like,
why? Just why?
Just no, I can deal without the why.
Okay,
I just like it's like, if you're gonna do this, then this is gonna happen, or like, this could happen, or you could do this with your powers or stuff like that.
Yeah,
like the scene where they're on the beach,
the quickening,
like, what the fuck is, like, you know how Yoda describes the Force? That's how Sean Connery should describe the quickening.
Yeah,
though it's kind of like, do you feel the stag and the blood, and then they just start running? It's like, is he tapped into, like, the world around him? I understand that he's able to feel when there's another Highlander present. That's made clear. Yeah. And, like, sucking up their power. But, like, what is their power? Like, when they suck up their energy, like, what do they get? That's also not really established.
I gotta be honest. Yeah, that's... No, it's not.
Yeah.
The only thing they ever really establish is that there is a grand prize for the last survivor.
Which is...
knowledge. If you go back when he's in between somersaults on the wire, he screams, "I know everything!"
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I didn't even catch that. I guess I was falling asleep.
You were distracted by the random electric ghosts and the wires.
It's kind of like at the end of Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. She knows everything, but then she gets killed.
They made a fourth Indiana Jones?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know about that?
No, was it any good?
I don't think so.
That's unfortunate.
But yeah, it's like, it's way too vague. I'm fine with things being like, there is no real explanation. Like, the stuff is just happening. Okay, that's fine. But what are the rules of this make-believe thing? It's like, you're not really establishing any, like, I don't know, like, I don't think goal is the right word, but like, it's just rules. It's like, okay, it's like, if you could summon lightning or stuff like that. All I know is like they're immortal. They can't die unless they get a head chopped off. That's pretty much their powers. And like everything else is just like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Like, tell us, movie. Hack screenwriters? Like, what happens when they absorb people? Do they gain their knowledge?
Is this a Jet Li the One situation?
I know what that is, but I don't know what you're referencing in the movie specifically.
Oh, it's about, like, you know, this one guy who's hopping into alternate realities and killing himself in alternate realities because when you kill other versions of yourself, whatever life force and energy gets divided amongst the living, and at the beginning it's between him and only one other version of him. So good Jet Li has like people just pop into his dimension. He's like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh yeah, there's an evil version of you. He's coming to try to kill you. So there's only one of you, making you basically a god.
See, that's stupid, but I'll take that explanation and those rules that are set up as opposed to what they gave me in Highlander.
But they do the same thing where it's a cold open where he kills a version of himself and we have no idea why.
I would probably still have a problem with that.
Fair enough.
But
Dave doesn't like cold opens. 3 weeks earlier.
Well, like, I think that a good example of is Hardcore Henry. Did you see that?
Shockingly, not yet. I have it. I just haven't watched it.
Okay, then I can't really talk about it. But
another thing that has Queen in it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But they do something there that's kind of like that, where it's like, wait a minute, what's really going on? You're just really, like, kicking me into this, which is nice. It's like, okay, we got to get the plot moving. We got to keep going. Unfortunately, Highlander doesn't really do that. It kind of takes its time, and I kind of attribute that to the director's cut, because I don't know.
I think it's only like an extra couple of minutes.
Only extra couple of minutes, okay.
I think it's like the duel scene and like the Nazi scene.
The duel scene?
Yeah.
What duel scene?
Where he's hammered.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that, you know,
those two scenes that basically bring the entire plot to a screeching fucking halt.
I mean, it's fun.
Yeah. It's the closest we see to Christopher Lambert having fun.
Oh, I don't think that man knows how to have fun.
Oh, shitty Thomas Jane.
You know who I could see as Highlander? Tom Hiddleston.
You know, that actually would be a really interesting piece of, like, anti-casting. Because you would, because, you know, he's very, like, sinewy and skinny. Like, you wouldn't necessarily picture him as, like, yeah, be the hero of my action movie. But if you're mortal, you don't really need those qualities.
Yeah.
It kind of could work.
That's where it gets to, like, oh, well, we have this 50-year-old guy.
Yeah.
Or we have, I don't know, a kid or some shit.
It doesn't matter what shape you're in. You can't fucking die.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's pretty cool.
Wait a minute. Why was the Terminator jacked? He was a fucking robot.
Yeah.
He could have just looked like a normal guy.
Superman doesn't really need muscles.
I mean, did you see?
I know. Henry Superman Returns? Yeah, I know.
Did you see Superman Returns?
Yeah, I know he's jacked as fuck.
Kevin Spacey kidnapping a child is really uncomfortable in retrospect.
Wrong!
Sorry.
But yeah, I really like this movie. But I can't, like, I don't think I could watch it again because of A, like, establishing what this is, and B, the strongest one, Lambert himself.
All right, so.
And it's a canon movie, which we didn't...
Which explains a lot.
Yeah, it explains a lot.
All right, so, you know, just for fun, let's really quick think about this. I said this during the movie. I think that something like Highlander is ripe for a remake, a reboot. Just fucking hit the reset button. The continuity is a hot mess. They butt-fucked everything in the first 5 minutes of the sequel anyway.
Yeah.
Planet Zeist. We're remaking Highlander.
Okay.
What are we doing with it? Who's directing it? Who's in it? What kind of tone are we going for? Let's make this fucking thing. I am into the idea of casting a Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, I think Tom Hiddleston would work. I think he would work a lot. He definitely put in more effort than and he actually has the skill and the talent.
He has the ability.
So
let's say like we keep like the general framework of this movie. Just the basic concepts of, you know, it takes place during modern day. They're all getting drawn towards this thing. We intercut a series of flashbacky type stuff.
Yeah. I would kind of keep the same pace a little bit. I think it slows down towards like the right at like the third act, like that the last half of the second act into the third, it just slows down and it's like it doesn't really recover well.
All right, I have one request. Can we keep the guy from Game of Thrones?
Oh, we have
to. He literally is the same character.
He's the same guy.
Same exact guy.
That would be really cool, actually.
Okay, so who... We got our lead. Who is going to be our bad guy? Who do we think can pull off? Because Clancy Brown is on fucking fire in this movie. He is great. Mr. Krabs doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, he's amazing. I don't know. Could be an unknown guy. I don't know. Could be anyone, really.
Oh, shit. I'm going to throw this out there.
Uh-oh.
David Harbour. Stranger Things.
You think? Yeah.
I think that he's
got to get really jacked.
He is really jacked.
Oh, really?
He's for Hellboy, dude. And he's getting, like, scary jacked. Like, it's not even, like, an aesthetically pleasing amount of muscle. It's just, like, just scary person.
And he's...
He's a big dude.
Yeah,
too.
He's a big, tall guy. Yeah,
I think that he would. I think he could do the Kurgan.
Yeah,
I 100% think that he would be good.
And then who plays
the
Sean Connery?
You know what?
Timothy Dalton.
No. What if we went left field with it? Cast a woman.
That'd be cool.
Like an older woman too. Like somebody who's like badass.
Rachel McAdams.
I was gonna say, what's Cynthia Rothrock up to? No.
No, I don't think so.
No, definitely not. But who would be good? Who would be good? Somebody who could like you could see like realistically kicking some ass.
Hmm. I don't know. Michelle Yeoh comes to mind.
Work.
Yeah,
I could see that.
It could work.
It would make the katana make a little more sense.
Yeah. Well, no, I that still works fine with, yeah, I don't know.
What did you say? Can her name be like...
Could her name Bryce? Be Ramirez?
Shit, we could still call her Ramirez!
Yeah, why not?
Show up with a big-ass feathery hat.
Yeah, I think it's so ready for a remake.
Yeah, wait. What if we do this?
Oh, no.
The character, his name now is like Angus or something. His name is like Scottish.
Okay.
But he says that he is Chinese. His name is Scottish. He says that he's Chinese. And he is played by Antonio Banderas.
Oh my god.
We literally just like switch them all.
Switch everything.
I think Antonio Banderas actually would be like a pretty solid choice as like the mentor if we wanted to go a more traditional route with it. I think he's at that age and point where like he could do that.
I think you're right.
Right? I can see
Antonio Banderas.
He's got the charisma, like he would have fun with it. Like
yeah. I think it's the Mark of Zorro, the Mask of Zorro, whatever.
I was thinking of Zorro.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that would work very well.
Okay, so.
I think we got our three main people. We can, like, honestly, like, keep some of the same stuff. I would say reuse most of the Queen soundtrack. Because
they would have to keep some of the Queen stuff in there.
They got
only for references.
They got to keep the New York, New York one in there.
Kings.
I feel like Clancy Brown just improvised that.
He definitely did.
And then they were like, let's work with that.
Fuck it. Let's do it.
Okay. And it was like the most awesome sequence. One of the most awesome sequences in the movie.
Who do we think could pull this off, like, as a director?
Hmm.
It would need to be somebody who would be adept with shooting on some level historical stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, it would have to be somebody, yeah, versatile.
Oh, so you're thinking...
But who can balance the tone, too.
Who's a genius. Like Zack Snyder.
I never said he was a genius.
I think you did one time.
No, I don't think Zack Snyder would be a good fit for this, because I personally think that a key to making this movie work is that I would want a lot of it to be done practically.
Yeah.
In terms of location. I think, like, shoot it on location. Like, that's what, honestly, like, this movie looks phenomenal because they shot so much of it for real.
They're on that mountain cliff. It just, like, it's like sideways. They're all slanted.
Can we appreciate that it definitely took them several hours to climb up there?
Yeah.
And then fucking McCloud flings Ramirez's sword off, and it's like, well, now we can't train.
They have the first scene in the movie. It's this big wrestling match setup, which is ultimately pointless. But it looks amazing. They have this huge crowd. The camera's, like, flying through the crowds and everything, going up to, like swinging by the stage, the ring or whatever, and then it goes up to see Christopher Lambert sulking in the rafters.
And that guy who just fucking loved wrestling.
He's just wrestling. Just hovering over him. It's like, this is great. This is popcorn coming out of his mouth.
Which is weird, because they weren't serving popcorn.
No, he's just stuck in between his teeth. For fucking great. That's amazing. I wish he was a Highlander.
Right.
But no, it's just like, it's real. It's tangible. It's right there. You can see it. And it feels amazing when that camera swoops down. And that happens. That happens a bunch, actually. There's a couple other shots that are like that, too. That are on location when they're
this movie
back
gives
in
you a great sense of place.
Yeah,
like it, and it's just great. Like you just don't see that, and like it's kind of charming. There's the occasional matte painting.
Yeah, there's that goofy element, like when Ramirez and Kurgan, they're fighting, and it's a total bullshit set. It's just like
styrofoam bricks.
Yeah, there's a guy. You'll have to go back and see it, but there's a point where the wall is falling apart, and there's this one moment where you can see one of the PAs probably trying to get away from the shot, because it's like, it's clear, it's like this guy was just there pushing the brakes, and it's like, I gotta get away fast. But it still works.
I think I might know who can direct this.
Who?
Keep an open mind.
Okay.
Martin Campbell. Director of The Mask of Zorro, GoldenEye, Casino Royale.
And Green Lantern.
You know, Casino Royale, GoldenEye, Vertical Limit, anything. Green Lantern.
The Foreigner. He did Edge of Darkness, which wasn't that
I
great.
I think he could do it, because, like, we know he can do the period piece stuff with Zorro.
Yes.
We know he can do some, like, really great location-based stuff with GoldenEye and Casino Royale. Yeah. We know he can do good character drama. It would just be a question of him being able to balance the lighter tone.
I thought you... Because you included all the movies. I thought you were like, good character drama. Green Lantern.
You know, also, Green Lantern, we know that he could, you know...
CGI a suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which he could CGI the kilt on.
You know what? Like, listing all those movies and then listing that one?
That makes sense. I think.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was talking about, like, how, like, Green Lantern just feels like not his movie. It just feels like it's, like, someone, like, he attached his name on it because he had to. Because all those other movies, they're shot on location. They have, like, those great sets.
Yeah.
A sense of place. Like, when you're establishing, even though it's not really Montenegro, you might as well feel like you're there. It's like that, it's you had that feeling. I was like, mm-hmm. that's what this place is. That's what it needs, the remake. It needs that to work.
Yeah.
Like how they did it with the original.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll see with the new Deadpool coming out, like what fight scenes with somebody who basically can't be killed could be like, because I think that would be something that I'd love to see explored more. Because there aren't too many fight scenes, and the fight scenes, they don't really get injured or cut up that much. But it would be cool to see, like, you know, like he gets run through with a sword. He's like, fuck off. I'm immortal. And he like, just pushes the guy off. Like, there are interesting things that we can explore with this, given today's special effects. And, you know, like, things have progressed like that.
Because, yeah, like you said, there's not, I'm trying to think back, there's not really, there's not any moments where, like, you could have, like, stabbed up against a wall or something like that, or, like, pinning him down. It's like, okay, now I'm just chop your head off or something like that. Yeah, it's like, nothing.
Can you imagine, like, he fucking shoots, like, one of the other immortals or Highlanders, whatever, like, with a harpoon and pierces them against the wall.
Yeah.
And now the guy's trapped there.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to come, but now he's trapped.
Yeah. Boom,
decap. No problem. Like.
But I like how, I like that they just use swords. I think it's, I have a problem, like, with action movies where they have, it's just shooting guns. It doesn't really, like.
Well, yeah, I think the biggest problem, with the exception of something like John Wick, where it's up close and personal.
Or Die Hard or something like that, yeah.
When you're shooting a gun, there's a disconnect. You pull the trigger, it's in one frame, and then you cut, and you see the result.
Yeah.
That would be something that they would, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to deal with it because swords is personal. It has to be. You have to be.
You're
there.
Up close. You're personal. It same with like just regular like Kung Fu, like a Jackie Chan or like or The Raid or something like that, where it's brutal. It's in your face. It's in sometimes it's in the same shot where you feel all that stuff.
Yeah, and this would definitely have to be a hard R.
Yeah. I want to see those awesome like prosthetic heads flying on because like in the first in the beginning. It's just goofy as fuck, but it lends itself to, like, what the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it portrays itself seriously.
Yeah.
But deep down, it's goofy as shit.
Yeah. And I would love to see, much like that unproduced Wolverine movie that never happened, I would love to see, like, what does an immortal do for 500 years? Like, how does that affect him? I'm sure he's going to end up fighting in lots of wars and like seeing atrocities and like there that area is ripe for exploration.
I feel like they'll never do this, but and any kind of movie that explores that, like just random adventures, just like it's not really like it's a anthology. But it's all in the same movie. So it's just like one segment's just this one part with him. And then another segment's with another.
Can you imagine if they did like a Netflix TV series where it was basically like an 8-hour movie, but there was only the smallest amount of connective tissue and like every episode took place in like a different fucking century?
I feel like you're going to tell me that it's Black Mirror.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I just mean like, you know, this week, Connor McLeod's in World War II. Next week, he is jet skiing in Cabo and doing cocaine in the 80s. Like, you could literally do, like, there's a Scarface episode, like a Miami Vice episode. Oh, now he's in fucking Nam.
Yeah, something like that.
Now he's fist fucking Cleopatra.
Whoa.
Yeah, listen, freaky shit. It can get weird. It's all consensual. Cleopatra was a classy lady.
Well, I was thinking, like, yeah, it's like something like that. But, like, in just one movie, again, not going to happen.
Yeah, well, structurally, it would be difficult. It would either.
It would have
if you
want to
go that route, it has to be like a TV show.
It has to be.
Yeah.
I think now, more than ever, we see a ton of anthologies and stuff like that. It would work well. It would just have to be on location and have that.
Yeah, so if we wanted to do an anthology, though, would you keep the character the same? Because I feel like that would be the key. Like, it would have to be Connor McLeod or whatever the character is. Every episode, just a different point in his life. And because his life is endless, he can be, it's almost like a kind of Doctor Who cop out where it's like, yeah, he can be kind of different because it's been 70 years since you saw him. Shit has happened.
Well, no, like
Just personality-wise, he'd be the same actor.
Oh, yeah, he would be the same person. It's not, like, changing him or anything.
Yeah.
You can have, like, some, like, connectivity. Or you can even have, like, you can do, like, say, 13 episodes. And maybe, like, for the first three, really establish the backstory before you get into, like, his adventures. Mm. Or you can spread it out. Like, maybe every episode, yeah, it's a different place in his time period. But we get, like, a small glimpse of his past.
So, kind of like, if we're talking about structure, the way that X-Files is really two shows in one. It is the overarching conspiracy of the aliens. But they also have plenty of episodes that are just one-off adventures with Scully and Mulder, Monster of the Week type things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be like that. And you can also have, like, if you're going to bring back, like, the Ramirez kind of character or whatever, maybe one episode is just focused just primarily on him. Not an origin or whatever, but maybe, like,
oh, he got a sword or just, like, some aspect of his life.
Something. It could be anything. It could just be a random, like, think of, like, Samurai Jack. Like, original Samurai Jack. Not even the new, even though the new one's great. Like, there's this one episode where it's focused on these bounty hunters trying to kill him. And it's just, they're telling the story of how they almost got him, whatever. And sounds then, vaguely, yeah, and then at the very end, they all team up. And they try to kill him when he's coming into town. And Jack doesn't speak. He doesn't say anything. He fucking wrecks him. And, like, it takes a minute. And, like, he's about to kill, like, one of the last people. And he doesn't. Like, he just kind of, like, disarms them. And he just walks away. And it's the end of the episode.
That's cool.
It's pretty fucking cool. And it's, like, stuff like that that I'd be interested with, like, Highlander. Or even, like, a Logan type. You know,
I've been thinking of Logan this entire time because, yeah, like, the one thing that I think Logan would add, like, that kind of a thing is we see the culmination of everything and, like, what that does to a person. Obviously, that goes to a very dark place.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, because it might even be kind of cool to see the tone of the show slowly over time change. Kind of like how Samurai Jack got darker because
it was the only logical step.
Yeah.
Because he's.
Or even Harry Potter. Harry Potter got progressively darker because, you know, people grow up, like, just like that, kind of, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, and you're alive for so many years, you can become, like, cynical, you can become, like, crazy, like...
like the Kurgan?
Yeah, exactly, like,
You become an actual sentient piece of cardboard.
Yes.
Like Christopher Lambert.
Oh my god. Sentient piece of cardboard. This is just, he's so plain. And flimsy.
If I could describe him as an ice cream flavor, it would be
the
vanilla.
It would be the bean. It would be the actual bean.
Sir, this is a cardboard box full of tiny beans. There is no cream or sugar or ice or anything. It's sold to Billy Goods.
It's ripe for that remake. And I hope they do it. It makes sense.
I mean, listen, in this climate, it's possible.
Do the, what's his name? The Ocean's 11 guy. Steven Soderbergh route. Take something bad and remake it. Now, it's a stretch calling this bad.
But there's potential.
There's
potential to make this, like,
better.
A lot better.
Yeah. You don't take RoboCop and remake it because it's already the best it could be.
Wait. But what if we make it PG-13 and use the theme song literally once?
Then you can go fuck off.
Why did they do that? But wait. I have an idea. Why don't we do it with Total Recall? Fuck. How about we stop remaking fucking Paul Verhoeven's movies because a lot of them are goddamn perfect. Remake bad movies. How has nobody figured this out yet?
I gotta rewatch Total Recall again. I only watched it once. And I gotta rewatch Starship Troopers again because I've been wanting to rewatch it for the longest
time. Episode 2.
That's
episode 2, Starship Troopers. You heard it here.
I'll do it. Can't wait.
Casper, you and me. We're on Instagram. I'm gonna message you about this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know what's funny? Casper Van Dien was in like a Casper prequel movie and literally had like one line. I think they literally just cast him because like, yeah, fuck it. Your name's Casper. We'll throw you in there. He's like citizen number three or something.
Oh, wasn't he Christina Ricci's boyfriend?
Yes, he was, but that's Sleepy Hollow.
No, that's Casper.
No, that's Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking about the Casper prequel, not the one that is a child just dying.
Not Bill Pullman?
No, that's just Casper.
But he's a dead kid.
Yeah, I know.
But, like, what are you talking about, then?
There is a Casper prequel where Casper... I'm gonna look it up right now. Casper Van Dien is in a Casper prequel, and he literally is not a main character. It doesn't have a name, and just says one line of dialogue. Completely inconsequential to the plot. I will pull this up now, because it's amazing. Casper Van Dien, I love you. I'm sorry. We'll talk. We'll talk sometime.
Did you ever see the second one?
Yeah, the fucking weird horror movie one. What the hell were they thinking?
I don't know. And then what? There's five, right? Or there's four?
There's four. The third one tried to go back to the political commentary,
but failed because
they didn't have the budget to do it, or the script,
or the talent.
Casper, Spirited Beginning, Bystander, 1997, the same year as Starship Troopers.
Wow.
Yup.
Damn. I thought, oh, okay, whatever.
Oh my god, and he was in another Casper movie. They just kept putting him in Casper movies because his name's Casper. Yeah, there you go. Bram von Brunt in Sleepy Hollow.
That's
the Christina Ricci, Casper Van Dien thing you were thinking about. How the fuck did we go on a...
I don't know.
Yeah, Paul Verhoeven. Remake bad movies is the short version of that conversation. Yes. Just remake movies that didn't come out good.
There's a lot of movies out there, and we didn't get to it, but, like, the other movie that we were supposed to watch tonight, it has these great elements of being, like, super fun and, like, creative and just all around, like, cool, like, oh, that's badass, and stuff like that. But most of the movie is kind of, like, there's down, like, a lot of down moments and stuff like that. Mm. It's, like, take what works and just apply it to a better movie. Like, it might not even be, like, a remake of whatever.
So you're saying, like, if you make, like, a movie, let's say.
Just, yeah.
And let's say, like Deadpool was in a movie.
Okay.
But, like, you fucked it up.
Yeah.
You fucked it up bad. You cast a good actor, but, like, you shit the bed. It basically wasn't even Deadpool. It was terrible.
Oh, you're saying it's, like, we're making like, Deadpool, like, but we made it bad.
We accidentally put Deadpool in something and we fucked it up.
Okay.
You're saying that instead of like trying to remake Citizen Kane, you should look at that thing and be like, hey, like, let's take the elements that worked, namely the casting, and let's like just try it again and not fuck it up this time.
Yeah. Something like that. Like,
yeah.
Taking a Highlander. Look at these shots. Look at how they put them in concepts. Actual location. Yeah. All this like the scene, like the blocking of the scenes for the actions, not like the choreography, you make that better, but you keep the same aesthetic and that same locations that they shot in. Just make that the fights better.
You're listening, Gus Van Sant, you psycho remaking motherfucker.
That was pointless.
Why? Why did you remake a good movie?
It's pointless.
Remake something that sucks, but has a good concept.
Yeah. I heard Edgar Wright say like the same thing. It's like he's doing an interview. It's like sitting down watching bad movies. There's all these great little elements that are in there. You just have to be able to pluck it out and kind of apply it to something else. Like, I think that's brilliant.
All right, dream movie, dream movie,
dream movie.
Michael Fassbender starring.
Okay.
Christopher Nolan directing. Roger Deakins shooting, remake Minus the Hands of Fate. Somebody make this happen.
I don't think anybody can make that better.
I am demanding it.
Minus the Hands of Fate, starting with Christopher Nolan.
Weirder things have happened.
Yes. So, next time?
Next time, Gadget. Next time. What next time? What
do you next mean? Time? Yeah, I'm next closing time. Out the fucking episode.
Oh, I don't fucking know what you do, you drunk piece of shit. We've been drinking this whole time. All right, so.
That's where you.
On our next adventure, Dave and Paul watch another movie of questionable quality and then proceed to gab about it for an indeterminate amount of time.
Starship Troopers is a good movie.
Oh, we're going to watch that? That's a good movie. Okay, awesome. We're going to watch a good movie, guys.
Hooray.
Woo. All right, everybody. I'm Paul Danino Braun.
Oh, I thought that closed it out.
No, we're going to say this has been On the Rocks and...
God damn it. You didn't run it by me.
Dave, just say your name.
It's Dave.
This has been On the Rocks. This is two filmmakers drinking and watching movies and talking about it.
And being extremely exhausted and tired.
Yeah.
Job. Actually, that can be a good theme.
Just exhaustion?
Yeah, just keep that recurring.
Have a good one, guys.